This is a podcast from 3RRR 102.7 FM in Melbourne, truly independent community radio.
Emma Girl, a gold, is a freelance editor, award-winning writer, and her first collection is Two Steps Forward, a collection of short stories that are quite amazing, put out by Affirm Press, and she joins us now. How are you, Emma?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Now, we were saying off air, you know, we've seen each other's names everywhere. Your name is everywhere. You've been published now for how long?
Oh, well, I've been publishing short stories for a long time, but this is my debut collection brought together. And, you know, I've been working on that collection for quite a few years, and then it sat there for a little while too, because it's just so hard to get short stories published. Not quite as hard as poetry, following on from that conversation, but still very, very difficult unless you're, you know, a famous writer with a lot of runs on the board. So when Affirm Press announced that they were doing the long story short series, which is six books of short stories. Oh, fantastic. They were told they were crazy for doing it, though, because there's this idea that, you know, short stories aren't commercially viable. Although I think that's changing a little bit, and I also think it's a bit of a mindset that's out there, because the short story is perfect, you know, for our modern, you know, time where we don't have a lot of time on our hands. So I submitted to the long story shorts along with 450 other people, and
good on you.
Was very lucky that my book was chosen to be the last in the series. So.
Lucky but talented. And we ask this of all short story writers who come in. What is that X factor about the short story that you strive for? What is it that you think you've got to achieve in a short story?
Well, I think with the short story, it's really just a little slice of a world. And so you really want the reader to be able to imagine a bigger world than those few pages of the short story. You know, I think the story should really begin before the first word, and it should end long after it. And I heard Kate Grenville talking recently, and I thought she gave a really good analogy, because she described the short story as being like a bikini and the novel as being like a great overcoat. So in the short story, there's nowhere to hide. Every single word counts, and you have to make it all count. And, I mean, as a writer, that's a real challenge, but I love that challenge, yeah. And I love what a short story can do, both as a writer and as a reader.
And what's it like? I've always wondered this. Collating a book of short stories. Is it to you a collection of diverse stories, or is it actually a curated experience? Like, I mean, I remember when I first started listening to music, I loved the fact that I'd get an album and you'd get the first track and it'd lead to the second track, and that there was a sort of a logic to it. Do you approach it like that? I mean, now, of course, I download one track from iTunes and ruin the entire experience. But is that what it's like, putting something together? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think the stories in the collection are quite diverse in terms of the different voices and the characters, but there is a kind of overarching theme, which is ordinary people who are in difficult situations and striving for happiness. But certainly you're looking at how the collection works together as a whole, and, like, as you said, how one story leads to the next and so on. But it's not very straightforward. You know, my editor and I, we change the order of the stories around a million times, and, you know, you want the story to play off each other, and but there's so many different ways you can do that. So we're happy with the way it's finally sitting, but yeah, you sort of play around with it for quite a while to see how it's all working together.
It's so interesting you said that, Lauren, because I did the most unconventional thing with Emma's book. I started at the end.
Oh,
and
wow.
Because I was like, oh, what does the last short story say? And then worked my way backwards. And one of the last stories you have is Third Child, had me bawling. Tell us a little bit about that story.
That story seems to have struck a chord with quite a lot of people. It's the story of one woman's experience of a miscarriage, of losing her third pregnancy. It's partially based on my own experience. It's the only story in the book that is, you know, semi-autobiographical. Although saying that, if, you know, people are looking to read that and thinking that it's my experience. It's actually not, because once you introduce fictional elements, the whole thing essentially becomes fiction. And I deliberately gave that main character a name that I didn't relate to so that I could give her thoughts and feelings that weren't my own. But it does come, you know, out of that experience. And I really wanted to write about miscarriage because I think it's really not represented in fiction well. It's not written about very much, and when it is, it tends to be really within those cliched kind of terms of something that's very quick and, you know, over quickly. And it's really, for most people, it's not like that at all. So it's been really heartening for me, the response to that story. And also, I've had a lot of men who have said that that's their favourite story in the collection, which surprised me at first, although, I mean, it probably shouldn't, because I think miscarriage is a really taboo kind of subject that we don't tend to speak about.
And men probably don't get an opportunity to mourn publicly.
I think women don't, and I think men don't even more. So I've been really interested by the fact that there have been, you know, quite a few male writers who've really singled that story out.
Yeah, because in Kate Kennedy's latest poetry collection, Taste of River Water, there was a couple of poems about that too, and it's just I'm glad to hear it come into the foreground. That's really, really good. So your short stories are very Australian as well in a lot of ways. Is it just that thing about writing what you know, or just you want to pay respect to the Australian setting?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this, particularly in the context of the discussion that happened after the Miles Franklin shortlist was announced, because obviously that's meant to represent an idea of what it is to be Australian. And while those were three great books, of course, they were all books by male writers. They were all set in the past in rural settings, and I mean most of us don't live in rural settings, so I guess I am interested in reflecting our contemporary society, and most of the stories in the collection are based in cities. And you know, I think Dean Goranson, who designed the whole series, said that he read my collection as being about the real Australia, so the kind of contemporary gritty Australia that we all sort of experience. And I think that's quite a good description of the collection.
It's interesting the very different versions of Australia, you know, that you have that writers feel a sense of responsibility to place and so on when they're representing representing them in their own writing. But it makes me wonder, do we feel that about other things in writing? Like, do you feel that about the characters that you do you think, oh, I want to represent this character, I suppose in the case of something that's based on truth, then you feel a bit more obliged to do that. But is fiction freeing in that way, that you can actually just go, I've made this person up, this is the parameters within which they operate, and take it from there?
Yeah, I mean, for me, most of my stories start with a character who often sort of seemingly comes out of nowhere. And for me, writing is almost like the art of discovery. So I don't plot out my stories. I often begin with this very vivid character, and it's almost like I'm kind of following them along, you know, unraveling the story with them. So, for example, there's one story in the collection where this image just came to me of a man and an 8-year-old girl who are standing on a train platform in the middle of the night, and they're very uncomfortable with each other and ill at ease, and I didn't know why that was or what they were doing there, and I wanted to know and find out, and the story just kind of unravelled from there.
That's brilliant. I love that answer, because it involves discovering it rather than planning it, which is what all writers want to hear.
Now, has
it's brilliant.
Has this book been launched?
It has. It was launched in Hamburg a couple of weeks ago, and it was launched last night at Eurotrash by the fabulous Bob Franklin, who was the first in the series.
That's right, indeed. And it is a gorgeous-looking collection, as well as just the fact, a great idea. We're talking to Emma Gold, and it's Two Steps Forward, a Firm Press. Get your hands on this. A great short story collection, and thanks so much for coming in and speaking with us today.